How to differentiate true Dhamma from counterfeit Dhamma? Throughout last 2500 years, Buddhism has evolved into different forms. We have different Buddhist schools. Some of these schools that evolved died off. Some exist today. And perhaps in time to come, Buddhism may evolve further into the future and different Buddhist schools may come into existence. Each and every Buddhist school exists today claims that they preserved the true teachings of the Buddha. For a newcomer to Buddhism, it is very confusing. He or she will not know what tradition is, in fact, presenting the teachings in its authentic, original form. This is very natural. It is not my intention to comment about other Buddhist schools or their doctrines. Nevertheless, I wish to discuss some guidelines which have been preserved in early suttas in Pali Canon. By following that, we can recognize the true Dhamma. For my talk today, I mainly base on Mahaparinibbana Sutta and Saddhamma Patirupaka Sutta. First of all, let's understand why it is so important for us to recognize the true Dhamma. In Mahaparinibbana Sutta, before Buddha passed away into Mahaparinibbana, he addressed the Venerable Ananda and said, "Ananda, it may occur to some monks after I am gone that the teacher's instructions has come to its end. We do not have any more a teacher. However, this should not be seen in that way." Then he said, "Yo vo ananda maya dhammocha vinayocha desito panyatto so vo mamachena sattha. Once I am gone, the Dhamma and Vinaya that I have taught will be your teacher." So this statement is very important. Even though Buddha is not living today, his Dhamma still exists. And Vinaya, the discipline, God of discipline, still exist. So this Dhamma and Vinaya together are to be considered as living Buddha, the teacher. That's why it's very important for us to recognize the true Dhamma. In Vakkali Sutta, Buddha, in clear terms, says to Venerable Wakkali, Yoko Wakkali Dhammang Passati, so Mang Passati. Yo Mang Passati, so Dhammang Passati. Wakkali, whoever sees the Dhamma, he sees me. Whoever sees me also sees the Dhamma. So here, Buddha is the manifestation of the Dhamma. So there is no difference between the Buddha and his teachings, true Dhamma, in that case. When we see the Dhamma and we are also seeing the Buddha, the enlightened one. That is why it is so important for all of us to understand the true Dhamma. If you were to understand the true Dhamma, you will see the Buddha. And as the Buddha himself said, his Dhamma and Vinaya will be the teacher for us. In many suttas, Buddha used Dhamma Vinaya whenever he talks about his teachings. Here, Dhamma means the doctrine, Vinaya means discipline. However, today, we use the term Buddhism. The term Buddhism is ambiguous and it has a lot of different types of meanings. It is not a precise term. The term Buddhism is not a suitable term to be used in the place of Dhamma Vinaya. The term Buddhism is used to mean the original teachings of the Buddha as well as those teachings which were developed in last 2500 years. So there are various types of Buddhism, different types of doctrines and views as well as practices included in the term Buddhism. So sometimes we have nationalized Buddhism. So we say Chinese Buddhism, Japanese Buddhism, Korean Buddhism, Thai Buddhism, Myanmar Buddhism, Sri Lankan Buddhism, so on and so forth. So here we have nationalized it. Because these forms of Buddhism has got a peculiar characteristics that comes from those nations and countries. Sometimes there are various yanas. They can come as Mahayana Buddhism, Hinayana Buddhism, Vajrayana Buddhism, Buddhayana, Ekayana, Navayana. So different types of yanas, vehicles. Buddhism also can be used to mean, very scholastic way, to recognize the different periods of the evolution of Buddhist teachings, early Buddhist teachings, sectarian Buddhism, or natural Buddhism. There also can be concepts like historical Buddha, as well as celestial and mythical Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, deities, all of these included in the term Buddhism. So when we say Buddhism, it is a term that includes many concepts. So if you want to know the true Dhamma, you need to confine yourself to the Buddha's own definition of what he mean by the term Dhamma Vinaya. Now at this stage, let's ask the question, what is true Dhamma? Here, if you were to look at the characteristics of the true Dhamma, as the Buddha himself has defined, his teachings leads to emancipation, cessation from suffering, to enlightenment. So one of the characteristics of the true Dhamma, once we practice it, and that leads to enlightenment, that leads to complete freedom from all the forms of attachment. So that to say that true Dhamma leads to complete detachment. So this is one of the characteristics. On the other hand, when you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, it has been specifically designed to uproot all the defilements from the human mind. Greed, hatred, and delusion, and other related defilements. So the function of the true Dhamma is to uproot them perfectly, permanently, and irreversibly. The true Dhamma also help us to develop the opposite qualities of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is to say, generosity, compassion, and wisdom. True Dhamma lead us to realize three marks of the existence: impermanent nature of the conditioned existence, unsatisfactory nature of the conditioned existence, and soulless nature of the conditioned existence. Once we realize, that's what we call enlightenment, Nibbana. So the true Dhamma lead us to realize the four noble truths. So what is counterfeit Dhamma? The term counterfeit Dhamma does not necessarily mean a kind of teaching which is evil, immoral, or unwholesome. The term counterfeit Dhamma here used to mean that whatever the teachings which does not directly lead to complete cessation from suffering, to detachment. So in that case, counterfeit Dhamma can be wholesome. Counterfeit Dhamma can be ethical. Counterfeit Dhamma even can lead us to be born in this cycle of existence in pleasurable, favorable realms. Counterfeit Dhamma in this case can bring a lot of happiness, a lot of joy in this cycle of existence. But what counterfeit Dhamma cannot offer is the enlightenment. Because counterfeit Dhamma sometimes directly, at other times very subtle way, will keep us bound to the cycle of existence. It does not lead to detachment, complete cessation from suffering. That is the difference. So here the term true Dhamma is used to mean the teachings of the Buddha which are directly related to the enlightenment and leading towards enlightenment. Now, this particular Dhamma which directly related and leading to enlightenment is coming under the label of Bodhipakkhya Dhamma. So there are 37 requisites of the enlightenment. In Mahaparinibbana Sutta, we come across the Buddha addressed the Venerable Ananda and asked him to assemble all the monks while Buddha was living in the city of Vesali. Addressing all the monks assembled, the Buddha said, "Monks, these teachings that I have direct knowledge and made known to you should be learned, cultivated, and practiced so that the spiritual life will last longer for the well-being and happiness of many." Then he said, "What are these teachings?" Afterwards, he summarized these teachings into 37 requisites of enlightenment. So these are the four foundations of mindfulness, four right efforts, four bases for mental power, five spiritual faculties, five spiritual powers, seven factors of enlightenment, and the Noble Eightfold Path. Altogether, there are 37 requisites. So these are the teachings, what we refer here as true Dhamma. The reason is these 37 requisites, they directly related to the enlightenment. And whoever wish to attain enlightenment must practice them. And at the end of this, the Buddha announced to the monks that another 3 months later, the Buddha would attain the final Nibbana. So here, when we use the term true Dhamma and counterfeit Dhamma, the term true Dhamma means these 37 requisites of enlightenment, because these are the teachings that directly related. Counterfeit Dhamma, as I said earlier, not necessarily mean unwholesome evil. Counterfeit Dhamma can bring a lot of benefit in that sense if you were to recognize under the label of Buddhism. Nevertheless, they may not lead to the enlightenment, but they might bring favorable rebirths in this cycle of existence. Now, why this true Dhamma will disappear from the world? In Saddhamma Patirupaka Sutta, the Buddha says, as long as counterfeit gold does not arise, the pure gold will remain. In the same manner, so long as the counterfeit Dhamma will not arise in the world, then true Dhamma will remain in the world. And he further says in the sutta, addressing Venerable Mahakasapa, he said that true Dhamma will not disappear at once, like a ship that will sink in the sea. But true Dhamma will gradually disappear. In the sutta itself, Buddha pointed out there are 5 reasons for it. And he says, when the monks, nuns, and male and female lay followers of the Buddha, so these are the fourfold disciples, when these followers, they do not live with respect towards the Buddha, and when they do not have faith and respect towards the enlightened one, to the teacher, that can become the cause of downfall. When you do not have reverence, respect towards the enlightened one, towards the Buddha, to our supreme teacher, we may not take his words so seriously. And that can become a downfall. Eventually, the teachings, the true teachings can disappear. Second, when we do not have respect towards the Dhamma, in that case, we will not study the Dhamma. We will not try to understand and practice it. So in that case, also true Dhamma disappear. Thirdly, when we do not have reverence and respect towards the Sangha, true disciples of the Buddha, the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, when we do not have respect towards them, that also become the cause of downfall. Fourthly, the Buddha said, when someone doesn't have respect, reverence towards the training, and that person then will not undergo the training. Here, the Noble Eightfold Path. So when you do not have respect and reverence and deference towards the training, then of course, the true Dhamma eventually disappear. And the fifth one, he said, when the disciples, they do not have respect towards the concentration. Here, the word concentration should be understood in a very deeper way, not as a form of jhana, a meditative attainment, but rather it is a meditative attainment which is of course combined and fortified by insight, by mindfulness. As the Buddha says, this is the concentration without interruption. Samadhimanam tarikanya mahu samadhinatena samona vijjati. The concentration without interruption. This is the supreme peerless types of concentration, which means here in the highest sense, perfectly purified mind, which is free from the defilements. In ordinary sense, even though we were to achieve concentration, as long as defilements remain in the mind, and these defilements can interrupt the concentration. But once we achieve the concentration together with the insight, and then the defilements are uprooted perfectly and permanently, and there's no way such a concentration to be interrupted. Yam Buddha Sitto Parivannahi Suching Samadhimanam Tarikanya Mahu. The supremely enlightened one prays the concentration without interruption. So in the highest sense of the word here, it means the enlightenment or the mind which is free from all the defilements. So in this sutta, Buddha very precisely pointed out why the true Dhamma will disappear. And these are the 5 reasons. When we do not have respect towards the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and when we do not have respect towards the Noble Eightfold Path and practice it, and when we do not have respect towards this supreme concentration, which is the mind free from all the defilements, which is the enlightenment. So that leads to the downfall. So that is how the true Dhamma will disappear. Now, let's ask the final question. Then, how should we recognize, or in other terms, how can we verify the true Dhamma from counterfeit Dhamma? Because there are so many Buddhist schools who claim that they have preserved the true teachings of the Buddha. Everyone claims it. So how can we verify it? In fact, in Mahaparinibbana Sutta, Buddha himself has given how to verify it. And this method is known as Mahapadesa. The Mahapadesa can be translated as four great references, or in other terms, we also can say Mahaupadesa, great advice or references. Here, the Buddha says, monks, suppose someone were to say that I learned this directly from the Buddha, sitting imprint of him, face to face. I learned it from the Buddha himself. This is the true Dhamma. If someone were to say that, the Buddha says, we should not either reject it or accept it. Without rejecting or accepting it, we should look into the suttas, Dhamma, and Vinaya, discipline, the text which have been preserved. And then we must go through them and see whether these words uttered by that venerable or that person is accordance with the discourses, accordance with the discipline. If these words were according to the words preserved in the suttas and the discipline, then we can come to conclusion. This venerable has understood the Buddha's words. However, if these words are not according to the suttas and disciplines, then we can come to the conclusion this venerable probably has misunderstood the teachings. So in this case, you had to reject it. So here, what Buddha is trying to say that someone might quote the Buddha and use the Buddha as authority to say this is the Buddha's teaching. So nowadays, perhaps you might have seen in social media, sometimes we come across the sayings of the Buddha. So they said that Buddha said this, and they utter certain words and they circulate it. So we should not accept or reject these words unless we verify them thoroughly, going through the suttas and try to find out. Anyone can say Buddha said this or Buddha said that. But whenever you use the term, the Buddha said, we must find out where he has said it, in which sutta or which text, or where it has been recorded in early teachings, in Dhamma Vinaya. So if it is according to the Dhamma Vinaya, then only we can accept it. Otherwise, we have to accept it based on the references, whether it is a later teaching or said by whoever. So here, the first reference is, it is possible that someone might say that Buddha said this, I heard it from his presence, but nevertheless, we should not accept it without investigation. The second reference, he says, it is possible that someone might say that I heard and listened this Dhamma from a great community of Sangha members who are living in such and such a place, I directly learn from them. This is the true Dhamma. So if someone were to say that, in the same way Buddha says, we should not either reject it or accept it, but we must do the investigation. So here, someone might use the authority of the Sangha, means the community. It means the many monks, many number of Sangha members said this, so it should be true. So we should not accept in that sense. Just because something was said by many Sangha members, or by said by a community, by many people, it may not be true. So we must analyze it. We must verify it with the suttas and vinayas. Then the third reference is, it is possible that someone might say, I heard this from these elderly monks. So these elders who are living in such and such a place. And this is the true Dhamma. In this case, the person is using the authority of seniority. So just because something was said by a senior monk or nun or group of monks or nuns who are very senior, on account of that alone, we should not accept it unless we verify it against the Dhamma and Vinaya. So the Buddha is saying it is possible that someone might use the authority of the seniority, but we should not accept in that sense. And fourthly, the Buddha said it is possible. Someone might say that there is this particular monk who is well-versed in Dhamma. He is well-learned. He's a scholar. He has got this degree, that degree. He has written these books and such a person. So Buddha said we should not accept in that sense. This is a scholarship. So just because someone is a scholar, well-learned, does not mean what he says is according to the teachings. Unless you verify it against the Dhamma and Vinaya, you should not accept it. So here these are the four great references. Here, using the Buddha as the authority, first reference, using the community of Sangha as the authority, second references, the third, using the seniority as a authority, and the fourth one is using the scholarship, as authority. So Buddha says that even though someone were to use these authorities and were to say this is the true Dhamma, you should accept it, and just because of that, we should not accept it, but we must verify it against the Dhamma and Vinaya. Now, Buddha has taught us how to verify the true teachings in Mahaparinibbana Sutta according to these four great references. Now, the term Dhamma Vinaya, so these two terms are the most important terms in this talk today. So what is this Dhamma Vinaya that the Buddha is asking us to refer back? These are the suttas and Vinaya texts proclaimed by the Buddha. And these texts have been preserved in the first council. These are preserved in five Nikayas. All the suttas are preserved in five Nikayas. However, the last collection, which is a Kuddaka Nikaya, the term Kuddaka means minor collection, and it has expanded later stage. So at the moment, there are 16 books included in this last collection. But not all these 16 books can be recognized as early teachings. In fact, many of these books are later developed ones. But the first four collections of the Nikayas and a few books from the minor collection, all these can be considered as the Buddha's original teachings other than the discipline. And whatever the teachings that we have preserved at a later stage, all the commentaries, all Abhidhammas, and all the other teachings, they are later developed teachings. Of course, they also can be verified against the early teachings, and in Third Council, and the Abhidhamma has been verified against these teachings, and that is why they have included them into the Tipitaka. However, it is more safer, and whenever you want to refer to the true Dhamma and go by the Buddha's own words, Dhamma Vinaya, and then if there's anything, then we can refer to the early suttas preserved in these four major Nikayas, as well as few books in minor collection, as well as against the Vinaya. Then we can understand what is true Dhamma and what is counterfeit Dhamma. Okay, this is enough as a talk. We can open this for Q&A.